To the book of Ephesians and chapter 8. Ephesians and chapter 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Now, we have spent some time on the Spirit of God's ministry in the light of the Bible, Old Testament and New, especially the New. And we've spent time on Ephesians 5 and in verse 18, I should say, Ephesians 5 and 18. 8 is good, walk as children of light, because you are children of light, not darkness. Therefore, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, and God's word isn't like going to school. And we have to learn a lot of things which are very helpful. They may not seem helpful at the time. In fact, you may never use them again. You may never use them again when you're all done. But out of it all, you had exercise of your mind and heart. And then there are things that you learn that are practical, and depending on what kind of thing you do, very practical of reading, counting, all of that kind of thing. And all of that's very practical. But most, we don't apply it, we just learn it. And most people probably learn the Bible like that. They want to hear the Bible in some form, and they do it, just like a classroom or something, and they get the information. It's never meant to be used. It's not meant to be used. It isn't given to be used. It's given to you to understand the Bible, and you don't have to do anything with it. That's not the Bible. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring home to your heart and mind the presence of God. We just did that on Wednesday, etc. You're in always the presence of God. You are never out of the presence of God. You never have to go a distance or try to find him. You don't have to do that. In the depths of the sea, he's right there. And in the height of the atmosphere, he's right there. And he's right here. The Bible is given to have a practical relationship to be realized with God. It is so simple and clear and easy. And we shared together on Wednesday, I think, and all of that. God's word, in its most wonderful way, is to help you understand what? It is assumed by God that every human being born on planet Earth knows him. And we did that. It is assumed everyone, no matter where they are, knows him. Now, what are you doing with him? He's present, you know. That's assumed. It isn't assumed we may need to know him or we got to find him. No, it's that's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. Here he is. And so we've been doing that. Doing that a long time, etc. So what I'm going to try to do is just fumble along here and make you rethink, unthink, relearn, whatever, do it in order to put together the pieces. I'm going to give you 10 illustrations, maybe. One of them you should be able to apply in your relationship to God. Say, illustration, apply it, practice it. Now, so Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit of God, etc. Make no room for yourself in any way. What is the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to bring the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, into reality. So that's what Christ died to bring into reality, his wonderful presence in a saving way. So therefore, having said that and looking at that, and remember, fill with the Spirit of God, not self. We're going to do all that, and you'll see it. Yeah, well, I can do it now, that part of it, which you know. It's easy to do, not hard. Here's the glass of water. If I dump the water out, it's full of air. It normally sits full of air. But when we pour the water in, the air is excluded. The glass is the same. The air around it is the same. The air in it would be in it, but the air isn't in it because it's full of water. Because the water fills up, it expels, it removes the air. You can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't do it. You either, and there's no halfway. You won't read anywhere. God never says, we'll do it in a bit. There's no halfway point. I want to have this and that. You don't have that. You're either alive or you're dead, physically, true? Tell me the halfway point. You may be dying and you're just struggling, but you're still alive. You're still alive as long as you're breathing and your heart is beating. You're alive. And they do not pronounce you dead. They do not pronounce you dead till there is no more breathing and there is no more life. There's no middle ground, dead or alive. Filled with the Spirit of God, he comes in and fulfills the gospel. That's what his assignment is, to bring the gospel to reality. To bring you the good news to fill all the bad news. All the bad news, you fill it with good news. So all the stuff that's bad has to answer to the good. Now put this up for me again. I told you I did that once long. I did it more than once maybe. They used to have mics up here like this. And I was more active then for some reason. And then I just took my hand like this. I was just doing something. I went like this, and I knocked all the swags. They all went sailing, remember? They all went, took them all away. So, but now I don't do anything anymore. Now, so therefore, over to Romans 6, the gospel. I'm going to do everything quick, but it's simple. There's nothing complicated I'm going to do. Romans in chapter 6, if you can. And in Romans chapter 6, we have the gospel in Romans. Chapter 6 in particular, Christ died on the cross. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. He took them there and he paid the price. That's why before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So the gospel has to do with my death. Christ before saw me before there was not before, when there was nothing. He saw you when there were nothing. He saw us when we were nothing. And Christ went and determined to die. When we were born, God gave us all life at a given point in time. And we all have that life. And Christ died on the cross to give us the right to have physical life. And he died so that we could have spiritual life. Now, able to have spiritual life, he took us to the cross, the gospel. The gospel, Christ died, buried, and rose again, according to the scriptures. So therefore, chapter 6, going directly if I can, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, into the glass. Water went into the glass. Water went into the glass. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. So whatever he has, he brought to us. Whatever he did, he brought to us his death. Verse 4, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, because the glass is full of water, and the Spirit of God is going to bring the good news and fill your heart with all the wonderful person of God in Christ. 4, verse 5, we have newness of life. 4, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ died and took our sin, and we died. He was buried, according to the scriptures, and he took and buried. He's done with our life in Adam, first Adam, where we got our old nature. And Christ died on the cross, and he's buried it. He isn't going to dig it up. He isn't going to look at it again. He tells you he's finished. He doesn't even go to the cemetery to put flowers down. He doesn't do that. Doesn't do that at all. No, he's done with the subject. He's done with the subject. He's finished. You're a new creature in Christ. He's done. You're saved. The glass is full of water. And why? In order to enjoy the good news. So therefore, and verse 6 again, therefore, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed or made inactive. In other words, the cords, the chains that held us are cut. We're so used to having our hands chained that when the chain's gone, but we just do this. We just do, it's habit. It's a habit. This is what we do. We're always chained. Always chained. But we aren't. We're free. But we're free. But we keep doing this. That's our problem. We have to practice. And that's why the Spirit of God's ministry is to do and set us free. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. He broke the chain. He cut the bondage. You're still there in this body, but it doesn't hold you in the same way. You got habits and long habits of standing. The longer you live before you get saved, then you got the habits, and you got the habits you have to dump. When you get saved at 10 years old and you worked at it, you have less problem. But when you get saved at 95, you have lots of problems. Now, so therefore, sliding down, that's verse 6, you're free. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves dead to sin, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it doesn't say you're dead, he says reckon you're dead. Reckon you're free. You're free. Reckon it so. Calculate, compute, understand. You're free. Reckon yourself dead. Christ, that's the gospel. Christ died for you and set you free. Now, and therefore, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. to recognize our wonderful, unique relationship to God. And I don't want to leave that piece out at this time. Verse 13, neither yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, your God, body, the other self, body, head, eyes, nose, ears, throat, brains, blood, brawn, and everything, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Reckon yourself to be alive and give yourself to God for his God's wonderful, wonderful working. Now, slide over. That's what you have. You're free. That's the gospel. The gospel. And the gospel sets you free. You have to learn. You have to work through this. And that's what God does. Chapter 7, as you know. In chapter 7, as the believer starts working through it and understands it, he has to understand chapter 7. Picking up, please, in verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also, remember, dead, you're free. Free, the death of the woman sets you free. The marriage is ended. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. To be married, to have a relationship to God that we did not have. 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, our eyes, ears, nose, and throat, to bring forth fruit unto death. Without God, we were dead. And all that we said and all that we did were works of the flesh. Verse 6. But now you are delivered from the law, that being dead, that's because you're dead, Christ died, wherein you were held, we had no choice, we were in chains, bondage, that we should serve, since we were free, that we should serve in newness of life, newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And you remember now in chapter 6, and in verse 5, the end, even so we should walk in newness of life. Back over to chapter 7, verse 6. We should serve God in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And then you come, verse 18, if you go through this, and you work through, you learn it, by God knocks, growing, just growing up, learning as a believer. For I know that in me, verse 18, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good, I find not. My old nature does not want to have light and life. My old nature doesn't want that. And so much as I want it, because I know Christ is my Savior, I don't have it. And that's because my old nature doesn't want it, and I am thinking I'm still in bondage. But I'm actually not in bondage, so I need to reckon. I'm not in bondage. But my heart, my old nature says, you belong to me. I belong to your old nature. And I say, yes, I did, but not anymore. I understand it, but I'm caught. And therefore, verse 19, for the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And as long as I don't understand, my old nature wins, because I am not reckoning myself dead, and I think I'm in bondage. I don't use that term. It's me. It's what I always pass. My experience, my idiosyncrasies, and everything else. It's part of me. It's my normal life. It's how I answer. It's how I speak, how I talk. And I do the normal. Unless I reckon. Oh, then I'm free to have a relationship different with God. I'm going to do that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, And we share together. And by the way, when we had the glass, it does not say, God does not even indicate anywhere. It says half full. I want to be half full. I want to be two-thirds full. It's full, full, like we shared last week. Full. God is never half full. God in you is never half full. God helps you in every way, but he's always full. And whatever God does, he's full. So we don't want to think, I want to be halfway. I don't want to I want to understand that. And therefore, and you know it from Revelation 3, you don't have to turn there, Revelation 3 and verse 15, 16. To the church in Laodicea, I would that you were, what? Hot or cold. But since you're neither, I spew you out of my mouth. Now, why hot or cold? Why hot or cold? Because God is hot. God's a fire, a consuming fire. When God's there, it's hot. When God's missing, it's cold. It's cold. There is no halfway point. There is no middle point. Therefore, our Lord would say in Matthew 6, you cannot serve two masters. You either love the one, hate the other, or vice versa. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and looking to God with thanksgiving, you're free, or be in bondage and you're not free. There is no middle ground. Now, having said that, and therefore we are to abide, and we've done all that many times over and over to ourselves. The branch has to be connected to the tree. Just common sense. Everywhere it's evidenced, the branch has to be attached to the tree. How attached to the tree? Fully attached to the tree. If you see a branch partway on hanging down, that isn't a healthy branch. That's not good. No, it has to be fully attached. No halfway point, fully attached. When it's fully attached, it's full of life. Isn't it? If I'm going to trust God, I have all of God right now. Can't have any more of them. I'm going to get it. God help me to put these together. Fruit. So therefore, the Lord Jesus said, to make that clear to us, I am the vine, the branches, John 15, 5 and 6. Without me, you can do how much? Nothing. That's pretty clear. The branch has to be attached. The glass has to be full. You don't have to be a genius. No, just practical reality. Now, and so therefore, another way to say this, same thing. Go over me, face to Romans. I told you I'd do 15 illustrations. I'm kidding. Really, that's not good. One of them will sink into your head that you can practice. The glass of water. I practice them all because I got them. So do you. Because I'm learning. I want to practice everything. So therefore, over to Romans. And in Romans, where you are, over to chapter 13. And 13 of Romans, if I may. And in the process, there it is. Okay. Romans in chapter 13. Next illustration. God, and these are God's illustrations, so God's trying to help us. Romans chapter 13, sliding down, if I may, to verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. Don't be filled with the Spirit of God, so you're not full of air. Be filled. If you're filled with this, if the God is in it, you're trusting Him, then your old nature, you're free. Trust Him. Don't get to this. You're free. I'm going to let the glass is full. The Spirit of God, I'm trusting you. I'm free. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So therefore, we want to look to God to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, to get that a little better and better and better, over to Ephesians chapter 4, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians in chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 21. Chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, way of living, etc., the old man, the old sin nature, reckon it dead, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so therefore, God, we're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to handle the lust of the flesh. So therefore, I got to get rid of that thinking. That thinking that's controlling my life. I don't want to have it. On the contrary, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What am I doing? I'm exercising my understanding of how it works. That's why God gave us his word. That's why we're reading it. We're reading it so we don't guess at it. We don't have to guess at this. We get in ahead more and more, and we learn it, and it's just part of what we do. Why? Because we understand how it works. Therefore, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And now again, for the illustration we had somewhere time back, and we still have it. So what are we going to do? Okay. I'll use it this way. This is family. This is my own nature. It's part of me. Make sure it's tucked in. This is part of me. I got saved. When I got saved, I received Christ as my Savior. He brought himself and the Father and the Spirit of God, into the heart. And when God was brought into the heart, God did a wonderful thing. And here we are. God gives us a wonderful relationship to himself. This is still here. God brought himself into my life. Put off. Don't be trusting this. Reckon yourself dead. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. What do you mean? I'm going to honor. I'm not going to let this dominate. I have to drive to work. I'm going to go to work, or whatever, school, or cook dinner, or whatever it is. I have to do. That's my normal life. And I can do that. But I need to remember I'm always in the presence of God. I need to remember that and be mindful. And the presence of God is always in me. I need to remember that. The presence of God is always in me. But But my old nature says, no, you're free. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm free. But you are free. You are saved. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. Put off, put on. Let me keep going. So you see it. Ephesians, and in chapter 4, verse 24, and that ye put on, 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, etc., etc. Put it off. Why? Because I'm going to be able to go by God's word, and I understand my old nature, my humanness in Adam, I got that from the world. But I'm able to go and look to God in a most wonderful way, and I have his word to understand all this, to put it in language that I can understand, in a way that I can understand it. Now, having said that, to put on, put off, and sliding down to verse 30, well, no, hang on to that. Over to Colossians chapter 3. Remember, the epistles are all written for believers to be successful. They are not written for the unbelievers. They're not written for you to go out and witness. They aren't written above that. They're written for you to be able to enjoy God's wonderful personal presence. That's why they're written. Philippians, Ephesians, each one. Hebrews. Oh, so therefore, Colossians, if I can, and in chapter 3, as you would guess. And Colossians in chapter 3, picking up, please. In chapter 3, and may I go, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, remember, seek, you reckon yourself dead and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. If you then be risen with Christ, have a new life in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? For you are dead, reckon yourself dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Therefore, how are you going to enjoy that? Verse 5, mortify, put to death. Therefore, reckon yourself dead. Mortify, put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked before you got saved, when you lived in them. Well, I used to do everything. I never had another shirt. I just had one shirt. But now, verse 8, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying, you have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, I don't have to go by the old. I'm free. And, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him, God, that created the believer. He made the believer a new creature in Christ. God did it. They're new. And therefore, they understand to put on the new man. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all, in all, and for all. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his most wonderful, wonderful way, is outworking his wonderful will according to his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we are his workmanship. So God, we're making ourselves available to outwork the relationship we now have with you in a very practical, simple, wonderful way as we go down the corridor of time. So therefore, we're looking to you, God, to outwork all your good works. And without any works, the works evidence your relationship, our relationship to God. That's why James says, without works, without faith, without works is dead. And hang on to that, faith, especially in the morning. All of it's there. Now, the evidence, that evidence is faith. So we have a Philippians chapter 2. And you know, work out fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, that's what it says in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2. So therefore, the recipe, we did that. We had the recipe book, remember? And you had the recipe book, and you had looked at the recipes, we looked at them, and all we could do was look at them. And then they had the ingredients, how to make it. There's the picture, here's the ingredients. There they are. And it's there. Now, that's all it is. We read the book, turn the pages of the different recipes, and close the book. But we didn't have one thing. And put the book back in the book counter. Put it back in. That's what we did. And so therefore, that's what we do. But if you wanted the recipe, you would have to see the picture. If you want the picture, if you want the life, if you want that, what it's talking about, you're going to have to follow the recipe. So God gives his recipes to follow. And you can't play with them. You can't say, well, I think I'll add this and do that. Because then it's your, then you added to God's work. And God says, don't add and don't subtract. God doesn't need our thinking or our thoughts. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He doesn't need any thought from me or you or anything. Very simple. Just do it. Don't play with the recipes. That's why we're reading. Put off, put on, fill. We're trying to put it together. Just simple stuff. To make it work. We want what it says, the good news. So therefore, as we look at the recipe book, we have to go and make the recipe. And the Spirit of God is the one who has all the ingredients. God does. Who has all the ingredients to make what? The life of our Lord Jesus Christ, your life. To make the cake edible, to be able to eat the cake. The Spirit of God makes all the ingredients to enjoy your relationship to Christ. That's what his job is, to fill the glass with water. Now, having said that and keeping that, By the way, God's always full. And we did the same thing in a restaurant. When you go in a restaurant, you go in the restaurant to see, and here's the menu in front of you, and you pick something from the menu that you think you'd like, and you read your Bible as you're reading, and you have a need in your life, and God speaks to your heart through a verse or a truth or a thought, and you get it, and you're looking to God. You're looking to God to have that thought. I'm in the menu. I'm back in the menu. Kitchen, I'm back in the restaurant. I'm going to go in the restaurant. I want that. I see the menu with its list. I have the Bible on the other, I'm comparing in the Bible over here. So I see the menu. I pick something from the menu. And all I can do is by faith, I want what it has. That's what I want. I tell the waiter, I want that. I like that. And the waiter does it, disappears. And then he comes back and puts it in front of me. All I have to do is say thank you and eat it. That's what I have to do. If I don't eat it, it's just sitting there. Like the picture book, only it's real. So therefore, as I'm God looking, here's the menu. And God, you're going to do that. I'm looking to God. I have a need in my life. I have God's word, the menu. I look at God's word and read. And I'm looking to what? I'm looking to God. God, I need to be encouraged and I'm disappointed, I'm discouraged, whatever. And I read him. And God, I'm reading. And then I'm looking to God. God, you know I need it. So I trust God, look to God, and the Spirit, I have the Spirit of God present, be filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is going to do what? He's going to take what I ordered. God, I'm discouraged. And I look to God in His Word, and I give it to God, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to go and bring all of the benefits of God's saving grace, the good news, into my little old heart. And He's present to do so, and He brings into my heart His wonderful presence. Now, He didn't do anything yet, but He's just there. I'm conscious of God. And that immediately does a big thing for me. And the minute I'm trusting Him, looking to Him, and trusting Him, God does a wonderful thing in my head, and I am reading, and God's going to help me through it. And God brings the menu, God brings the what He needs to my heart, and He does it. I don't do it. All I did is understand God in me did it. That's why I have God as my Savior. Because God is going to be the other half of me, if that's not a good illustration. God's going to be to me all of His wonderful presence in a wonderful way. So God, thank You for the thank You for the Emmanuel. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You have. And when you read Acts as we did in the book of Acts, and you'll remember as we read that, in Acts, oh, you can turn it back over there if you want, over to chapter 4, I guess, for time's sake. Acts in chapter 4. And you remember, the filling of the Spirit of God is for every believer. Every believer. It's a way of life. It isn't a moment, we're going to have to be filled to do the job. No, you are being filled 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to enjoy the relationship. He is required to bring all of the benefits of the gospel, all of the good news into your life in Christ, and to have a relationship to Christ, who then told us, without Him, you can do nothing. I got that, God. So the Spirit of God says, make sure I'm there, because without Him, you can do nothing. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it real. That's what His job is. That's what it is. He confirms this word, as you'll see wonderfully in 1 John. Now, so therefore, here's Acts chapter 4, and in verse 31. Now, when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were all filled. And that's just an illustration that God has to go and do what He does in His most wonderful way. And we use the light bulb, which I have, I have to get it, I couldn't find it, down there, and the light bulb. You're the filament. The spirit, body, soul, spirit. Spirit of God, like the filament in the lamp, in a light bulb. And the filament's there. You are made for God. The antelope isn't, the duck isn't, you is. Ducks don't have spirits. You do. God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Must worship Him. Must. No middle ground. So therefore, we're looking to God to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we share together. The Spirit of God takes you, comes into you. You're made to know Him in a unique way, spiritually. You're saved. So when I received Him as my Savior, He brings the spiritual, my filament, my life, my spirit, into the fullness of His Spirit. And now I have physical life, earthly, but I also have spiritual life, heavenly. And I'm able to have that life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So I'm able to look to God, who outworks the power. What do you need? The Spirit of God. And then we use the power, like the lamp, if you can. The lamp. Here's the light. I don't want to play with it. Here's the light. The light, when the plug is in, you have power. When the plug is out, no power. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You're either in or out. In or out. Hot or cold. One or the other. So therefore, looking to God, we need to stay plugged in. That's why it says a command, present tense, Ephesians 5:18, but don't be drunk with wine. On the contrary, stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God in a most wonderful way, if you would. Now, and therefore, we're to walk in newness of life. And in the prayer, I've got to stop for a moment, but you got the idea? Now, what am I doing? I enjoy my wonderful person in Christ, wonderful person. And I am always me, but I'm always able to enjoy. I'm always me, but I'm able to enjoy him. He is not me, and me is not him. No, they're different. Don't mix them up. It isn't about you or me. It's about I'm free to honor him. And I thank him. I have this working in my life 24 hours a day. And I'm able to go and trust God and look to God and his word. And the Spirit of God in me is going to go and help me. So all the time, and I'm jumping in. There's power. And the Spirit of God, and you just receive power. What do you mean? Power. Oh. How much power is in your life right now if you're saved? Right now, if you're saved, you enjoy omnipotence. You enjoy God Almighty omnipotence, don't you? Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Otherwise, you're not saved. You say, I don't believe that? Then you're not. I question whether you're saved. Do you understand? So, but God, you're going to help me to what? Whatever you order, eat and drink to the glory, and believe God, eat and drink to the glory of God. God is going to give me the power, the relationship to enjoy his word, not in the flesh, I'm the sin of flesh, but I'm going to go and look to God. God in me is always who he is. He doesn't need to move a mountain. I just need to trust him. And he gives me the relationship to do what I have to do. If I have to go and climb the high mountain, I'll have the power to do so. But if I don't have to climb the high mountain, the power's there, but I don't have it. I don't need it. I need to be trusting God. How are we going to do that? You walk by, remember the word? Faith. That's how you live. You don't go by your sight. You don't go by your feeling. You go by your word, God's word. And he's trying to tell you how it works. You can't see me, said God, and you couldn't possibly comprehend the magnificence that I have given you in Christ. But you're going to enjoy it. And so therefore you're going to go and trust me. And I'll do in your heart. You're here, God. That's right. And I'm here. I'm going to trust you, God. At the same time, and to the measure I'm trusting you, you'll meet my need. To the measure I'm trusting you, you'll meet my need. Good, huh? If you need encouragement, whatever, I'll help you. But God's awesome person is in there. And I gotta quit. Is it quiet? Yeah. You got the idea? I'm trying to help you get there. It's so easy. So easy. If I had Steve help me, Steve's with me everywhere I go, so make believe. And so I'm going to get down the stairs. And before I fall down, Steve's there to catch me. And Steve's going to catch me when I fall down. And otherwise, I'm a dead man. But he's there. God is there. I'm here, but God is there. Before I get down those stairs, that's what you need to practice. God's always in here. You just have to practice his presence. How? By faith. You don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't smell it. You believe it. But that's the only way, God said, you can understand me, is by faith. It is impossible to understand me apart from faith. You understand? Well, say, I don't have faith. Then you got a problem. I got to quit. Thank you for that.